The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. We're going to start from the verse 1.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places, they snuffed up the wind like dragons, their eyes did fail, because there was no grass.
The word of God says, now this time I'm going to send the drought, means a famine. Up to now he said, I'm going to send the sword, the enemy will come and take you captive, but they did not listen. Now when it comes to the food and a drink, that's what we live for. If there is no food and there is no water, then people die. So here the word of God is saying to Jeremiah, I'm going to send the drought. People are going to mourn, they are going to cry. They are going to cry in the Judah and the city and the gate. And they will cry lying on the ground, depressed, and didn't know what to do. And they will be doing this kind of crying and weeping. And the noble people, the people who are rich and has money, they said they will send the little one. Actually, some other translation says servants. Some translation says children. But somehow the people are going to look for the water. Now here it says they are going to look for the water in the pits. But some other Bible says they will be looking for the water in the some kind of tank or some kind of well. Means these people, they were not going for one place. They were searching water for everywhere, wherever they can find. But they could not find any water. When they come back, they were very ashamed. What we are going to say to our masters? What we are going to say, we could not find the water. So they were covering their head. They don't want anybody to know them, who these people are. And they were ashamed. The same way he says, now the ground is very dried and cracked, and people who are plowing, they are also waiting for the rain, and they are ashamed, and they are covering their heads. And then he says, even the deer give the birth, but there is no grass. He keeps the deer baby and runs for her life. She doesn't care about her children. Means everyone is afraid of dying. And then he's saying even the donkeys. Donkey doesn't need too much food. Most of the donkeys, they are not fed in India. They just make them loose and they go here and there, and it's not expensive like elephant. But these donkeys, now they are going to go in the mountain and here and there and looking for grass. They could not find the grass. Finally, they are trying to get the wind, breathe the wind to survive. And he says, now they are not even able to see where they're going. Their eyes are getting blinded. And this is the kind of situation he's saying, this is going to happen or already happening in the children of Israel. In verse 7.
O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night?
Now here the people are praying, or Jeremiah is praying, and he's saying, Lord, we know what this is happening, because our wickedness, our sin, because of our sin, the rain is not coming. But you are the hope of Israel. And we are your people. So you should be helping. Means some people think if mother and father, that is their duty to help their children. Doesn't matter the children, they listen to parents or not. That's what these people are demanding. You are the father. You are the one who's going to supply our needs. You are the one, our God. Don't look at our sins. We are sinners. We know we are sinners. We are not working according to your will. But you should keep your name and you should give us the rain. But he said, you are acting like you are a stranger in the land. Means you don't know us. You're just like a traveler coming from one city to another city, and he has nothing to do with the city, but he's just waiting for overnight, sleeping and getting out. He has no concern about the city or no concern about those people. That's the way you are acting. Now, they are blaming God. It is your responsibility to give us the water, but you are acting like a stranger and you don't know us. Verse 9.
Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not.
Now here is saying, you are the man, mighty man, a very strong person. You are capable to save us and protect us, but you are not doing anything for us. We are the people called by your name. We are your people. And you are a mighty macho man supposed to help us, but you're not doing anything. So they are still trying to blame God. God is capable to give us a rain, but why he's not doing it? Verse 10.
Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins.
God is saying, you're my people, but you're wandering away from me. You're not concerned about God. You're concerned about the foreign gods. And you're wandering, you're living your life worldly, do not care about God, and living for your pleasure and your sinful life. And so he says, you are not coming to me, but you are going after some other gods. That's why God does not remember you. Only God remembers your sin, and your iniquity is multiplied. That's why God is not doing anything. Verse 11.
Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence.
Now here he is saying to Jeremiah, up to now Jeremiah is praying and saying and complaining to God, you are not doing anything. God is saying to Jeremiah, let me tell you one thing, don't pray. Don't pray to me, don't pray for these people that something good is going to happen to them. Do not pray. Let me tell you what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to bring you sword, I'm going to bring famine, and I'm going to bring pestilence, means some kind of plague or disease. So up to now, I was talking about the drought, and you people start blaming me. But let me tell you, now there are three things that are going to happen. Sword, famine, and sickness and disease. Now, if this kind of thing comes to somebody or message, persons should be scared or afraid and turn to God or start crying to God and asking God to take away these things. But these people are still not understanding. Verse 13.
Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their hearts.
Now here is saying, Lord, there are some prophets are here and they are prophesying or prophesying by your name. And what they are saying, no drought will come. no sword will come, no sickness and disease will come. And they are giving this kind of message, so people are confused. Today, the same thing. Today, you go to some churches, they are saying so many soothing things. There is a one church, I think hundreds and thousands of people go there. And I heard the preacher himself said once, in my church, there are Hindus and there are Muslims coming and sitting, and they are not scared that I'm going to condemn them and things like that. So if the people, Hindu and Muslim, come and sit there and never give their heart to the Lord, why are they coming? They are coming to hear the sweet talk. No condemnation. No talking about sin. So there are some prophet at that particular time telling the people, no famine will come, no sword will come, no enemy will come, no sickness will come, we will be all right. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the prophet of gloom and doom. He's saying bad thing. People do not like to scold. People do not like to say you are sinners. People do not like to hear you should confess your sins. There are some people are saying, if some people are sick and the preacher are coming, say, because of your sin, this thing might have come. And people get offended. People are thinking that, you know, I got sick, that doesn't mean I'm a sinner. But the Word of God says, anything comes to you, you should humble yourself. Even though you are pastor or preacher or believer, James says, when you go to pray to each other, you ask forgiveness and that other person asks forgiveness, and then pray, then God will forgive you and heal you. Adam committed sin and all the sickness, disease, and thorns and thistle came to this world. So here is saying, these are prophets prophesying, and they're saying, nothing will happen to you. No sword, no sickness, no disease, nothing. And they're saying, who are these prophets? They are saying divination. That means they are influenced by devil. And they are prophesying by the devil's influence. And some of the things they are saying by their own, from their evil heart. And so the Word of God says, okay, those people are prophesying these things. Do you think those prophecy are going to come true? There are some people come to some churches and prophesied anything. So the people just say something from their heart to please somebody, but it is not from the Lord. Sometimes people like to see a good things. So most of the people come and say some good things, but they never tell them, repent. I don't care if it's a pastor or minister or believer or somebody. If they ask me to pray, I will say, let's pray. And I say, ask forgiveness or say, Lord, forgive all my sins. Anything can happen. And some people say, oh, I didn't do anything this week. Maybe you did for 10 years ago. God did not punish you. So you always ask forgiveness before you come to the Lord. Because we are human beings. We can make any mistakes. But we don't stay in mistake. We don't stay in sin. We cannot practice sin. The Christian people will not practice sin. If they are practicing sin, they are backslidden. Verse 15.
Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them.
Now here is saying, okay, go and tell those prophets, or something is going to happen to those prophets. They are saying the sword will not come, the famine will not come, the sickness and disease will not come. Whatever they prophesy, that's going to happen to them. Because sickness, famine, and the sword will come and they will be destroyed. And the people who are listening to those prophets and they like to hear those kind of messages, those people also be slaughtered by the sword and their bodies will be falling on the street because of famine and sickness and disease. And the wives they will have their children will be killed, and the sons and daughters will be falling on the streets. Means everywhere you go, the people are dead with the sword or sickness or disease, and everywhere people are falling. So that's what's going to happen. Whatever those prophets said is not going to happen, but whatever Jeremiah is saying, because what God is saying, that's what is going to happen. Verse 17. Now here the Jeremiah is talking.
Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow.
God is saying, Jeremiah, you should tell these people what you're going to do. You want to cry? You remember Jeremiah said, if my head was water and my eyes were the fountain of tears, I will be crying for my people day and night. And last week also we read that I'll go in secret place and I'll cry for you. So he said, tell them, you're going to cry for the people of Jerusalem, and you're going to grieve for these people. And he says, this is what's going to happen, because these people are not listening to me. And so they are completely going to be destroyed, and everyone will have some problem. Verse 18.
If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword, and if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not.
Now here he's saying, tell these people, if I go in the field, they will be people slain by the sword. I enter the city, I will see the people with the sickness and disease. And I will go out, there is a famine. And so, both prophets and the priest and all of those people will be destroyed. So this is a message for everyone. If people are not listening, the one person makes a mistake, all people suffer. So the prophet and priest start doing something wrong, then the other people will be, whole congregation will start doing. And then they start doing, the children start doing. That means we have no good example to anyone, and everybody doing their own thing. Verse 19.
Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble.
Now again, they are complaining to God. Why are you not looking at us? You should be helping us. There is no healing, there is no peace, and there is trouble everywhere. Where are you, God? The people are thinking God might be sleeping. God is not answering. But God is always there. He's watching over us. He knows our weakness. He knows our problem. But he wants us to tell him that we are sinners. We need help. And we should confess. Don't think God is going to automatically forgive you. There are some people say, you don't have to confess. God knows everything. And if you are saved, saved forever. And those kind of teaching is happening today. So the point I'm making, people are not looking at their problem and they are blaming God. Anything happens in this world, they say, where is God? They are not worshiping God. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. But the problem comes, they blame God. But the blessing comes, then there is no God. They don't have to worry about God. Verse 20.
We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us.
Now they are saying, you know what? We are sinners. We acknowledge that we did something wrong. Not only that, we ask forgiveness for our forefathers if they did something wrong. But I don't think these people are saying anything from their heart. God knows your lip service, and God knows your heart service. So they're saying, you remember, you made a covenant with Abraham. You made a covenant with our forefathers, even though they did something wrong, but your duty is keep your covenant. Means you should not be destroying us. And other people are watching. So your name should be not blamed. So you do something for your name's sake or for your covenant you made, do something. Do not harm us for your name's sake. Verse 22.
Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things.
Now they are saying, or Jeremiah is saying, he says, you know what? We recognize the heathen or their gods. They cannot provide water. They cannot provide rain. And we know the rain is not automatically going to come. God has to order the rain. We heard that God has the storage of water, storage of snow, and storage of wind. He has everything in control. So he says, we know that you are the controlling all these things. Heathen God will not do it. Or they have no idea where the rain is coming because they don't know how to do it. You are the Lord, and you can do miracles. You can send the rain. So we are going to wait upon you. That means we have no other source but God. This sounds like a good prayer. Sounds very good, because he says, you know, the Gentiles, they cannot bring rain. And they don't know how the heaven and earth and how our God works. You are the one. We trust in you. You give us a rain. And they are praying. And actually, this coming from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is praying like a whole country is praying. And so let's see what the word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth.
Now here God is saying, Jeremiah, let me tell you one thing. I told you not to pray. Not to pray for these people, but you don't listen. And you keep on praying and keep on saying that give us a rain. He says, now let me tell you. He's trying to tell you, Jeremiah, you're not that holy man. You're not that better than Moses and Samuel. It is insulting when God is saying, even the Moses stand before me and start praying, and Samuel start praying, I'm not going to listen to them. So who are you? Jeremiah felt so bad that God doesn't recognize him as a servant, and he doesn't care about his prayer, and he said, don't pray. And now he says, even the Moses and Samuel be there, but I am not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change my heart. I set it in my heart, they are going to go forth. And he said, well, go forth where? Let's read the words too.
And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity.
Tell them you're going to go. He said, where are we going to go? Okay. You're going to go death to death. Then you're going to sword to sword. And then you're going to go to famine, and you're going to go to captivity. So that means some people will die with the sword, some people will die with the famine, some people will die with the people taking them for captivity. So different people will have different problems. So he said, where should we go? I'm telling you where to go. Go for your destruction. That's what God is saying. There is no solution, but the destruction is coming. Verse 3.
And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy.
Can you imagine? He already said death to death, sword to sword, captivity to captivity, now famine to famine. Now here he is saying, let me tell you a little bit more what's going to happen. He says, I'll do at least four kinds of things will come upon you. the sword will come and kill you, slay you. Then the dog will come after you die. The dog will come and try to take your flesh and pull you on the street. And when you're on the street in the field, because sometime if you remember, if you give some dog food in America, when you give the food, they know where to come and sit. Still, they will go a little bit further when you give the food. They want to stay away. If you, in India, if you give some meat, they will not sit there. They will take and run somewhere and secretly eat because they don't want anybody taking the food away. So he said that when the sword comes and kills you, your body will be following in the house or street, but the dog will drag you. And when your body is dragged to the out of the field, then I'll send the birds, vultures. They will come and start picking on your bodies. And if anything remaining, then I'll send the beasts, like what do you call, coyotes or some kind of other animal comes and eat your flesh. That means nothing will remain, only bones. God is saying, I made up my mind. These are the things going to happen. Can you imagine if God tells you these things happening or going to happen? Listening these things, we get so scared. This thing already happened. God was not joking. But this thing happened, and God says, even though everything happens, and then the beast will come and destroy everything. Verse 4.
And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem.
Now here is saying, why this is happening? Because one of your kings, Manasseh, did all kinds of evil things. And so God is saying, when the king does, the people do. Because they have the model. Whatever the king does, or your president does, or your pastor does, then the people will do. So he says, this is what's going to happen. Because your king Manasseh did so many sinful things. I would like to read a little bit about Manasseh, but when you go home, read more things. Second Kings chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. And when you go home, read 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. But we are going to read only 2 Kings. 2 Kings 21, verse 1 to 16.
Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
Okay, rest of the things you can read at home. But here you see this king. His father was a good man, but he was 12 years old. Who gave him these ideas? 12 years old, his mother's name is given. So the mother was telling him to do wicked things. So he heard from mother, destroy all the God's altars, destroy all the godly thing, and start worshiping heathen gods, and start worshiping in the temple heathen gods. So God was so angry. He says, you know what? Because of your king Manasseh, I'm going to do this to whole nations. Sometimes some people do something, and they said, you know, if they do something wrong, and they say, why are you doing this? It's not good for you and your family. He said, who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. And when the police comes, arrest them, go to jail, whole family's name spoiled, of children they suffer, and whole family suffers. The same way, if your president or your king start doing something wrong, not worshiping God, not going to church, or not doing spiritual thing, and something wrong happened, then the whole country suffered. So because of Manasseh, God says, I'm going to destroy you. Okay, go back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 5.
For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting.
Now here is saying, who will have pity on you? Because you have done so horrible spiritual adultery and going after another God, you people have forsaken me. And you going backward instead of going forward. And you are not listening to me. So he says, I am tired. He says, I am weary with repenting. God doesn't repent. But what he's trying to say, sometimes I say, okay, I'll forgive you. But I'm tired of forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, and you are not changing. So I'm not going to do favor again. I did so many favors. I did not punish you right away. And so you got calluses. And you're doing more and more and more. So he said, now enough is enough. Verse 7.
And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways.
See, what he's trying to say when I fan you, not give you air or making you comfortable. You know, the harvest time, they want to let the chaff go. So they put the fan or wind and the chaff goes away. So he said, I'm going to do that in a city and a gate, wherever you're sitting, wherever we are there, I'm going to come and blow you away. Because you never repented and you never turned to me. And that's why I'm going to do this thing to you and you're going to blow away. Verse 8.
Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young man, a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city.
Now here is saying, you don't listen to me. So what I'm going to do, kill all the husbands, the men. When I kill all the men, the ladies will be widows. And the widows' number will be like a sand of the sea. Means wherever you see, no man, all the ladies. This is what happening. No man in the house. What happened? God is angry. God is taking away the husbands, taking away the men. So he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away all the men, means they will be killed and destroyed. And the ladies will be there. And then those ladies will be like sand of the sea everywhere. And not only that, he says, the destroyer come, not in the night time. Most of the people, they are afraid the thief will come in the night. But he said, I'll send the thief and a spoiler in the daytime, noontime. That's why we see now robbery is happening in a daytime, a noontime. People are doing these kind of things in the daytime. They are not afraid of anybody. And they are killing and destroying. So the Lord says, I'm going to allow them go and steal and spoil you everything, even the daytime. And he says, and suddenly the terror or the trouble will come on the city. Sometimes he says, oh, nothing is happening. We are okay. But God says, sudden destruction will come. Not you knowing. If you know some problem is coming, then you'll be safe or doing something to protect you. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming as a thief in the night. How many people are ready? Jesus Christ would have given us the date and the month and the hour. Everybody will leave everything at the same hour. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Start praising God. But he did not tell us the time. He said, I'm not going to tell you the time or hour. It's in the hands of God. And so, here is saying, the sudden destruction will come. Okay, verse 9.
She that hath borne seven languisheth, she hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day, she hath been ashamed and confounded. And the rest of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord.
Now here is saying, the lady has seven children. First she came widow because her husband died. And the children are dying in front of her eyes. No mother, no father wants to see their children dying in front of them. But he said that's happening. And when this is happening, and then they are getting heart attack. They are dying. So death is everywhere. And people are dying because there is a sword, there is a famine, and enemies are destroying. And so the husbands are gone, the children are gone, our mothers are crying, and not a single child left. And so that's the kind of situation is happening, or will happen. Verse 10.
Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention, to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me.
Now Jeremiah is saying, oh my God, what should I do? My mother is God. What I'm going to do? And he says, I'm a good man. I never borrowed money. And I did not lend in money to somebody. But why people are cursing me? I'm not borrowing from somebody. Or I did not even lend to somebody. And I did not take interest from anybody. But still people are cursing me. So my life is miserable. My mom is gone. And now they are coming after me to kill me. And sometimes he says, I did not lend to anybody. I did not borrow from anybody. Means I'm a good man. I am not after money. I am not even charging any interest. But still, people are cursing me. Means people are bothering me without a cause. Did Jesus do anything to people? Means did any harm to anybody? No. But they try to destroy him without a cause. And so Jeremiah is saying, this is what my life is. Not only other people's mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and everybody's dying, but Lord, this is my situation now. Everybody is cursing me. I don't know what to do with my life. And see what he's trying to say a little bit more. Verse 11.
The Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil, and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break, the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you.
God is saying, these are the things going to happen. But I'm going to protect you. You're my servant. Nobody is going to protect themselves from the iron fist of these enemies. They are like a brass and iron. They are coming, strong people. They are going to come to destroy. And it's going to happen. They are going to take your country to captivity. And you will be going into captivity. Even though you said, I didn't borrow money, I didn't do anything, I'm a good person, and why this is happening to me, but it's going to happen to everybody, but I will protect you. Let's read verse 15, what Jeremiah is saying.
O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke.
Now he's saying, I'm praying, Lord, when all this enemy comes and all this problem comes, you are a good God. You're going to protect me. And you're long-suffering God means forgive our sins because you always come to rescue us. So I believe that you're going to bless me, protect me. So he is trying to say, I'm a good person. Don't try to destroy me with others. Even though those people are bad and wicked, but I'm a good man. I'm a godly man. And so verse 16, he's saying a little bit more about himself, what he's doing. Let's read verse 16.
Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joint rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Now, what he's trying to say, Lord, you gave me the word to preach. I just like ate them. Means I was so hungry for the word of God. And I ate these words, and I was so happy. I was so joyful because those words gave me some kind of joy. I was rejoicing in my heart. That means I was always happy to learn your word, preach your word, do not compromise, and I was doing this. And I know that you have called me with your name. I belong to you, Lord. I know you are a great God. And so whatever the word you gave it to me, I digest. I did not forget. I have in my heart. I am rejoicing. I'm not condemning you what you're saying to the people. I gave my word to them. Whatever you told me, I told them. He's saying, I'm a good person. I'm your child. I'm your servant. I listen to you. Verse 17.
I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation.
He's saying one more thing, just like Samuel says, Psalm 1. I don't stand with the evil people. I don't go and sit with the mockers, and they mock you, and they say bad about you. I don't go there and rejoice with them. I sit alone. No friend. I don't have any friends. Because all the people are against you. And when I tell them about you, they are my enemies. So what I do, I sit alone with God and I pray and worship. And he says, this is my situation. You are angry at me. I didn't do anything. I am preaching. I am listening. I am loving you. I'm a good person. I don't associate with the evil people. I'm a good person. So he is trying to say, Lord, do something for me. Protect me from these evil things. Verse 18.
Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail?
What he's trying to say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm a good person. I don't borrow. I don't lend. I don't sit with the sinners. I rejoice in your work. I am good person. And why this is pain? I am suffering. I have sickness. My wound is not healing. And I feel like God has forsaken me. And so I feel like I'm a thirsty person, but I'm going to the water. The creek is dried up, and I go to the somewhere we can fill the water, but that water is dried up. That's the kind of situation I have. My God is not satisfying my spiritual thirst or my spiritual hunger. Where should I go? I feel like you abandoned me. I don't have water. The water is dried up. Everywhere I go, I'm spiritually dried up. I have no hope, nothing. He's saying, Lord, I'm so miserable. Verse 19.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them.
This scripture is a little bit difficult to understand. Now he says, you are a good person. You have my words in your heart and you're rejoicing. Okay. I'm going to take you to the foreign land. Now what you're going to do there, whatever you have in your treasures, you kept it, you're going to bring it out. Means whatever you learn about Jesus, you tell somebody. When you're living in enemy's territory, all around heathen, all around sinners, and you are a saved man, you are a man of God, what are you going to do? You say, if I tell somebody, they're going to kill me. That's not the reason I give you the Bible, I give you the words, I gave you all this wisdom. He says, I'm going to send you on the enemy's territory, but you return to me means you come to me. You stay with me. And whatever you have in your heart, in your mind, you treasured my word, you speak out. And speak out like a God is talking. And you give them the word. When you give them the word, those people will get the message. And sometimes they want to follow you. And when they follow you, we will protect you and them. Let's read one more time to get it straight. Read that 19th verse.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return.
Okay. If thou return, means you, means all Israeli people and Jeremiah, you return to me. Okay.
Then will I bring thee again?
Then I'll bring you again. Where? Where I took you from your land, I'll bring you back. Okay.
And thou shalt stand before me.
And then when you stand before me means you always stay in my presence, even though you are in the foreign land. Don't say, oh, I went on a tour and there was no church, so I didn't go to church. What do? Stay there in your room and open the Bible and read and pray. If there is no church, open the Bible, pray and sit, and God will hear your prayer. You don't have to be going in a church where they are not preaching the true gospel. So he says, stay before me. Okay, read a little bit further.
And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth.
Whatever you have, the precious things in your vial, in your heart, then you speak like coming from my mouth. That means you speak the word of God. So the people are hungry and they want to know about Jesus, but we are not telling them, so how can they know about Jesus? Word of God says, how can they know without a preacher? How can they hear? It is our duty to tell them. Wherever God takes you, it is his purpose, his reason to go and preach and teach. So the point I'm making, we have to have God's calling. Wherever God takes you, win souls. Talk to people. He says, I have given to you. Now use my mouth. My words should be in your mouth. You should be preaching and telling others about God.
Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them.
See, let them return unto thee. Who are they? The strangers, the people you are in that land, let those people return to you, means they come to you for answer. They should be saying, oh, pastor, oh, Jeremiah, I see something in you. You pray and things happen. People get healed and God is with you and God is answering your prayer. So we come to you. He said they should return to you. They should come to you for answer. You don't go after their God. They should come after your God. God has called us to go anywhere and not to be like them, but bring them to Christ. Then he said, they will return to you. Okay, go ahead.
And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Don't worry about their wall. Don't worry about their armies. Don't worry about everything. But I took you there. You stay for me. You live for me. Don't be like them. Let them come to you. And then I will protect you wherever you go. Don't worry about their fences. Don't worry about their country. Wherever you go, I will be with you. Verse 21.
And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible.
The last words he says, I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked people, and I will redeem you out of their land and out of the terrible place. God promised Jeremiah Don't you worry where you're going. Don't pray for these people, because they are not going to learn anything in this land. Because year after year after year, there was a very bad king in Israel called Ahab, and very bad king in Judah called Manasseh. And all these Israeli kings and Judah's kings, they gave up on the real God. And because of that, all the hell broke loose. And now they are crying and they are saying, oh Lord, we know our iniquity. We know we are sinners. We know our forefather committed sin. But that prayer is not coming from their heart. If somebody says, I'm repented and doing the same thing, then you are not repented. God is looking at your heart, not what you're doing. But if your heart is good, your action will be good. And we know Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they stood for God. They did not compromise. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Wherever we go, wherever we see people, let us set an example that we are called by name of Jesus Christ. We are belong to Jesus Christ. And the word of God we treasure in our heart, it will come out of our mouth. So give us grace to preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to the dying people. And let the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.